Running Buds.
Welcome to the Running Buds podcast with me, Steve McNamee, and my co-host from Utah, Charlie Lambrix. Charlie Lambrix, how are you today?
I'm doing very well. And just to pull back the curtain a little bit, listeners, Steve tried that intro 15 seconds ago and he called us Running Buds,
which I did. May be
actually more accurate. And I'm just putting that out there, so we're acknowledging it before you can use it to hurt us.
Well, you can say that, but you ran 20 miles before the show, so I would say you're kind of a superstar today.
You
ran one of the anchor obligations, runs, however you want to put it, the big things that you have to do before a marathon. And Charlie, real quick, like before the run and after the run, what is your difference in mindset? I mean, I dread even the night before a 20 miler, I dread it. So how do you feel?
You know what? I'm about to blow your mind how committed and dedicated I am, Steve, because guess where I was until about 12:30 AM last night?
I'm going to say you were probably out away from home. I mean, if you're asking,
I was in the emergency room.
Oh,
everything is fine. But my little boy had croup, which I'm sure you're familiar, having a few kids can come on quite dramatically in the middle of the night. So it was pretty concerning when it came on, you know, seeing your 17-month-old baby gasping for air. We took him in and got him out in that cold air. That helped a bit, but we still decided it was best to go in, which we did. And we gave him some steroids, watched him for a little while, and sent us on our merry way with a prescription. So all is much better today, but I didn't get to bed till about 1 a.m., and one of the last things my wife said to me before going to bed is, "You're not still running 20 miles tomorrow, are you?"
And your answer?
You bet your sweet ass I am. This marathon's not going to train for itself.
Yeah, exactly. I don't have to feel good about it, but I kind of have to.
And this is a good segue. What I wanted to talk about this time, Steve, is just getting in the zone. Like, we are at time of recording exactly 4 weeks away from the Glass City Marathon, which is really the absolute teeth of training. A lot of people do 3 weeks out as their last long run. That last long run is probably their highest mileage. Some people cut their, have their taper only 2 weeks, so it goes on a little bit, but regardless, 4 weeks out, 3 weeks out, it feels like all you're doing is eating and running.
It really does.
Yeah. That's where we're at right now.
Funny, we really didn't even talk about what we're going to talk about, but I'm kind of on the same page with you there. I thought about a lot of the same things that we're just at that witching hour of, I guess, what self... I mean, how committed are you at this point? I mean, obviously we've come this far, but you know, I mean, there's some rough moments. I have to imagine last night was a tough moment for you, knowing you have to run 20 miles the next morning. And you know, I go through it in similar forms. I've done one 20 miler and I have another one next week. But you know, I mean, even through the week, some of those big runs and workouts you have to do to stay on form, it gets tough. It's mentally taxing.
It is. And it's just so funny because, like, when is a time that you really don't have anything to train for? Maybe early August, definitely like late November after any turkey trots, in December before the holidays. How easy it is just to decide not to run. Like, you could have a hangnail and you'd be like, better take today off. And how being in the emergency room till 12:30 at night, I was like, there was no doubt in my mind I had to get that 20 miles in today. So,
oh my gosh, yeah. So what's funny is while you were running 20 miles, and I did my long run yesterday. I only went 18, but It's kind of funny because it is a grind, and I don't, I was kind of thinking about this at some point today. Are you familiar with the show? I don't even know if it's still on, but it was Man versus Wild.
Oh, I'm familiar. Yeah, is that Bear
Yeah,
Grylls?
Bear Grylls is kind of dropped into a survival situation, and
Thank you for correctly pronouncing his last name.
is that yeah, well, I assume that anyhow.
Between the
One of
two
the
of us, we
things,
probably got it right.
probably, yeah, for sure. And he's got a strong English accent, so I could be a grills. Anyhow,
Anyway, did you have to drink your own urine on a
I
run?
did
Is that what
not,
you're?
but one of the things I remember on many of the shows, when he's showing you these survival lessons, but one of his little themes is like when you get those moments where you can rest, where you're not just trying to survive or trying to figure out a way to eat or find shelter. He would say, take a few minutes and give yourself some kind of a break, or give yourself some kind of a treat if you can find it, or some kind of comfort just for the mental, your own mental well-being, in
Live
the.
present, take time to
Yeah,
smell the roses when you can. Yeah, I think
exactly. So
that's good
while you were out doing 20 miles,
for mental
I got in. I walked and ran my dog, so I only had to go 2 miles today. But I got home and instead of taking a shower, Charlie, I ran a bath, which I don't think I've done in
health.
years.
Oh my.
And yeah, we have a recently remodeled bathroom, so I ran this bath and I get into the bathroom, the bathtub that I never use, and I just start looking around, and it's just loaded with there's lavender salts.
Oh,
There,
wonderful.
yeah. So I just grabbed everything. I'm like, I'm gonna try this. I'm gonna try this. And some of these like products, like they don't even really have a use. It's just you kind of just you can pour it on your head or you can pour it in the water and see what happens. And it's all just soapy stuff. But man, the smell in there of just floral like potpourri was so strong. But I did. I just laid there. I had music playing. I had a mimosa. I was drinking a mimosa.
I was about to say, there's no way this was without beverage.
It was, yeah, I did have a mimosa. And funny thing is that the mimosa was kind of the gateway because I was going to take a shower. I'm like, I'm not going to shower with a mimosa in my hand. No way. I'm gonna. So I just, it's just natural. But yeah. So among the grind and the daily, just mental, just day after day, just erosion that goes on. It is nice to take those moments, and I think I'm still riding the high of that hot path I took a couple hours ago. So
Treat
cheers.
yourself.
I treated myself.
Let me ask you this, Steve, and you don't have to answer. This might be too close to home.
I
Where was
will.
your wife this whole time?
Oh, she knew. She was she had a little bit of work she had to do from the week or get prepared for tomorrow. She's a hardworking lady. So I said, "Hey, I'm gonna actually go take a bath." And she's like, "Oh, okay." Like, okay.
Okay. Well,
Whatever.
I
So
just don't think I've actually taken a bath by myself since a child. So just wondering. I've got a little anecdote here to kind of encapsulate this in
yeah.
the zone-ness. And this is a story from January 2017, so it's a little old, but it's about this guy named Quinn Snyder, not to be confused with Quinn Snyder, the head coach of the NBA's number one team, Utah Jazz, but Quinn Snyder, who was 18 years old back in January 2017, and it was the number one ranked track and field athlete in North Carolina, where he lived then, number one cross country athlete of the year or something. And the story is he's in North Carolina, and they got a ton of snow this particular winter. And instead of just using that as an opportunity to take some days off or not do his workout, or I don't know if he had access to a treadmill or not, but he went to the track with a shovel and he shoveled off the first lane, the entire thing, just so he could do his workout on the track. They say it only took him like an hour, which I think is pretty impressive, right? To shovel a quarter mile in an hour. Some serious cross training as well.
I for sure would find friends who are, I mean, there's got to be, I mean, if you're presumably on a team, it seems like you could find people on the same page that would give you a hand and cut down the time. I wouldn't do the whole thing by myself.
Yeah, you really think that's going to get an article written about you in Men's Health and Runner's World,
That's
though? Come on.
not the goal. Was that the goal, is to get an article written?
I don't know. I'm not going to question this young man's intentions, but we can't ever just be nice, Steve. We
No,
can't ever just
no.
bring up somebody cool they did and not find some potential ulterior motive of this 18-year-old kid, but I don't know whatever happened to him. I'm not going to Google it. Probably still in college, right? 4 years ago, he was 18. Maybe he's a senior now. Who knows? He might be training for the Olympics for all we know.
Yeah, I don't know, he moved
God,
up north and shoveling
it's
for a living. It
it's
sounds like
right
he's a better
up
shoveler
there.
than runner. We've lost track of him.
All
I mean,
right,
he's
I'm going to
remembered for
Google it.
shoveling and not running.
I guarantee the number one hit on him is not gonna be, is gonna be about him shoveling this track still.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
Oh, you know what the first hit is? Quinn Snyder. It's like, do you mean Quinn
Of
Snyder,
course.
American
Of course.
basketball coach of the NBA's number one team?
Of course.
Okay. I'm
That
not coming up with anything, dude. It's all Instagram and LinkedIn after Quinn Snyder, which you assume I they assume I'm talking about.
Wow.
If I do images, it's a lot of the Jazz coach. Oh, there he is. Quinn Snyder, men's cross country. Oh, he's at Navy. Good for him. He runs for the Naval Academy.
Oh.
I'm guessing this is the same guy. Okay.
Well, if anybody out there has a where are they now with Quinn Schneider, we're email us at
Running
what's our
Buds
email
Podcast,
address? Running
runningbudspodcast
Buds Podcast.
@gmail.com. What's another way they could get a hold of us, Steve?
Well, there is the Twitter and our what is our new handle? It's Running Buds Pod. Is that correct?
Yeah, at
Yeah.
Running Buds Pod.
Running Buds Pod on the Twitter. And of course, Facebook. We have a Facebook page, Running Buds Podcast on Facebook. And one of my personal favorites is our Strava group that not a lot of communication, but I love the check-ins and seeing where everybody's running and all the miles that our listeners are putting in every day. The hard work we're doing. We're running like crazy. We're not shoveling as much as we did a few months ago. For sure, we are. We're all hard at work. Good to see.
Yeah, there's two members of our Running Buds Strava group, which I think you can find with at Running Buds Podcast, who did something pretty impressive yesterday. Catherine, don't Throlin, I'm not sure how to pronounce her last name, but a friend of mine out here in Utah, as well as my good running friend Ryan Timmy, they both ran the Buffalo Run 50 miler out on Antelope Island yesterday.
Oh my.
Both crushed it. They did it in like well under 8 hours. So like I don't know, like a 940, 945 pace for 50 miles. And this is of course 50 trail miles with like 7,000 feet of elevation gain and
Oh.
rocks. And also this one, it's on a literal buffalo refuge. The entire Antelope Island is a buffalo refuge.
Really?
And yeah, apparently they were close enough to smell the buffalo. So that was pretty crazy. Yeah. And driving out there, that's why I did my 20 miler today as opposed to yesterday. But driving out there to go cheer him on and check it out, it was really fun and exciting. And watching all these ultra people do it,
Yeah.
it's starting to creep into my mind,
Oh.
the idea of like,
Oh,
if I
really?
were to do one, I don't think I ever would.
Yeah.
But if I were, this one would be pretty cool. So that's always how it starts, though, right?
It is. It's the seed of a bad idea that
Oh,
sprouts.
terrible idea.
It is. Thank you. yeah, it's I don't know, Charlie.
It's such a different and more mellow and cool vibe, though. Like driving out there, it was like it's like a jam band concert versus like a power pop concert that would be like a big city marathon, you know. It's just a whole different feel, and it's really, really, even in spite of COVID, just such a cool community thing. Yeah, it's creeping into my mind. So I'm wondering what I'm gonna do next spring, but that's an idea. And you know what else is a really the appeal of it? This island, it's called Antelope Island. It can be viewed from most of Salt Lake, especially part I live. I live a little north of the city, and you can see it everywhere. 90% of my runs are in the same sort of stretch of bike path and things, and you can see Antelope Island clear as a bell because it's got a mountain on it. And
Now, this is a dumb question, but the
it would
island
be
is on
cool
the
to
lake,
know
right? That's out on Great Salt Lake.
the Great Salt Lake.
Okay. And there's
So,
buffalo on this island, you said.
you know, don't quote me on this, but I heard this is not well researched,
Apparently.
but back when like people traveling on planes, trains would just get out their pistols and shoot buffalo as they went by
Sure.
because there was so much buffalo
Who among us
that of course or wouldn't, right?
hasn't?
I think that the story I heard was that when it started to get scary, buffalo were really becoming endangered. Somebody saw ahead and thought this would be a great place to hide a bunch of buffalo because this place is huge, huge, huge island. So they brought a ton of buffalo out to this island, and they call it an island, but you know it connects at parts and whatnot. It's not truly a completely unconnected island. Like I never went over a bridge on my way out there. Anyway, that all these buffalo were put out there, and they're still there, and now they're, you know, maintained. But there are a lot of buffalo. I've only been out there twice, and it did not take me long to find some buffalo, even just driving down the road there. So,
What a
anyway,
fascinating part
yes,
of the world you live in, Charlie.
it is. It is. But what I was saying is, you can always
Right.
see this island. Why it's not called Buffalo Island? Maybe that was to throw them off the tracks.
Yeah.
You know, if it's to hide the buffalo, you don't want to call it Buffalo Island.
Yeah.
Pretty dumb. Just answer my own question. But you can see this thing where whenever I'm running, I can walk less than a half a mile and see clear as bell, you know, Antelope Island. It would be really cool to look at that and know that I did a cool ultra event or that I finished 50 or maybe even gasp 100 miles out there. So
Oh, listen to you were
creeping in my mind.
now.
I know, I don't even recognize myself,
Yeah,
especially when I'm like the best road race marathon shape of my life. I don't know. I've got these nasty, nefarious, smelly ultra
Yeah.
ideas popping in. They're there. They can't be denied. They're there.
So, I mean, I'm assuming A, you haven't thought this out thoroughly. This is just
Oh no. This just popped into my mind yesterday, you know,
the.
like this
Well, wait, now you got caught up in the moment? Is that what, like, you saw this and thought, well, maybe this is something I'd be interested in?
Yeah, back to the jam band analogy, it's like I just went to a Phish concert. I'm
Yeah.
like, you know, these guys are really underrated. And then, you know, 4 months from now, I'd be like, oh, I cannot listen to this anymore.
Listeners tuning in are going to be kind of confused because 2 episodes ago we were talking about the end of running once we have kids, and now suddenly you've had this epiphany where not only are you not going to slow down your running, you're going to now try to run 100 miles. I mean, my
Right, yeah.
well,
Yeah, you got it.
okay, that's it in a
Well,
nutshell. This is
if I may,
give you.
and this is rationalizing
Please.
quite a bit.
Yeah.
I'm not interested in any ultra event. I'm interested in this one specific one. I think it's, but that's always how it begins, you know, like just with drug dealers, the first one's free.
Sure.
I'd still have to pay for the race, but this is just this one I may wanna check out. So it's not like any and all, and also it's like I keep alluding to this, but there's probably a chance our family expands between now and then. So it might just be a different goal. Like I may not be able to run my fast big city marathon like I'd like to, but this may be a different kind of goal, a literal just to see if I can finish it type
Yeah.
that might
I
arise.
kind of have the
So
sense of ultra marathoners too that like they maybe just really they don't train that much for this specific event. They kind of just sort of exist in the whole running world, and then suddenly they just decide, you know what, I'm gonna just totally just screw a weekend and just run the whole weekend and hope it's 100 miles. I mean, that's sort of the mindset you'd almost have to adopt. That the training isn't
listen.
really event specific. It's just like hoping for the best, because it's totally unreasonable to think that this makes sense. I mean, even you have to concede that fact.
Right. I don't think I'll ever be like Alan Wolford,
I was not going to
running
use
40
that
miles
name, but
on a Saturday, housing double cheeseburgers the entire time. I can't imagine.
I was going to cite
That's
a mutual friend of ours who is a sub three.
oh.
He's a sub three marathoner, which you can never take away from him. And then he lapsed into the world of ultras, and he's very far off right now. That sub three. I mean, he's aging gracefully, but I love the guy. But I wish he had never dabbled into the dark arts of the ultra.
Now, why is that? Why do you wish he hadn't?
I mean, if he had,
Because you
he can
miss
do
him being
whatever he
able to
wants.
run under 9 minute miles.
But I think our friend hurt himself. That's
Oh, did
I
he?
just think he I don't know. I'm not speaking for him. Maybe he's a future guest. I'm certain this will bring an email. This is going to be a correspondence after the show. But he's a little he's battling injuries a lot more than he used to. And I think he would concede that fact that going from simple marathoning, which is difficult enough, to ultra marathoning has brought on a whole new bag of problems.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did he injure himself ultra marathoning or did he injure himself mountain biking at night with his 15-year-old son?
You know what? I'm not going to speak for our friend, but I'm just going to say a series of bad decisions led to a change in lifestyle. That's probably the
Okay.
best way to put that. I think next show we might have to bring this guy on so he can either defend himself or explain better. Because I'm speaking for somebody who certainly has a voice of his own and can bring his own perspective. But this is my perspective of, and the outsider's perspective of a sub three marathoner that, like I said, dabbled in the dark art of ultra marathoning, and that may have been the first of many bad decisions that led to a whole new way of life for good people.
This same friend, do you remember what his first sub three, and I don't know if he's done it again, but the first time he broke 3 hours in the marathon, what his official
I
time
absolutely
was?
do. I was there to witness it. This is a kind of a an interesting story, but this is going to be my first attempt at a 90-minute half marathon, and he was going for the 3-hour marathon that day. So I remember I let the 3-hour pace group go ahead of me, so I had a target. So once I knew I caught that pace group, I knew I was on pace for my half. So this was the Columbus Marathon, which kind of had a clover leaf design where you came back to the finish near the start finish for the half marathon, and then the marathon continued on to go do another 13 miles.
Group led you a majority
Yes.
of the 13
Yes.
miles, you
So at
think?
some point, I'm going to say 8, 9 miles in, I caught the 3-hour group, and he was on pace. He looked great. He was plugging away, and he looked kind of happy to see me. Well, I knew I had to pass through the group, so I think I just said, you know what? I don't even want to talk to you right now. Just leave me alone. Let me do my thing. You just stay on task. It was, in other words, you've got to stay mentally engaged. I'm doing my own thing. So I gave him a little bit of tough love out on the course. So I did. I went about my merry way. I broke 3 hours. I'm sorry. I broke 90 minutes. changed clothes, and then I waited and waited and waited, and then finally the 3-hour pacer came by with just a couple of runners at that point. He was not one of them, but he was just slightly behind. So I'm thinking, okay, it's going to come down to chip time. And as I recall, and I'm pretty sure I'm correct here, his official time came in at 2:59:59.
Yeah, exactly. 259,
And
59.
yeah, he looked like
I just
he came in from when I saw him approximately 20 miles earlier in the race. It was kind of, it reminded me of one of those World War II bombers that comes in all smoking, and three propellers are not working, and not all the landing gear
gosh.
isn't all the way down, and just crash lands. And by God, he made it though. And what a great moment that was for him. And I was lucky to see it because I was really proud of him that day.
Now, races have come a long way. Well, timing companies have come a long way. I remember when I first started running back in 2012, you had to wait several hours before you found your official time. And then maybe by 15, 16, you could pretty much depend on instantly after crossing the finish line, getting on your smartphone and seeing your official
Absolutely.
time. Now, do you remember what year this was and if he was able to look at that right away, or was he refreshing continually throughout the afternoon?
Oh boy, the year, years run together. 2015, 2016, right in
They
there.
do.
So I don't know. We
Yeah.
knew, I knew pretty quickly. I kept refreshing the results, so I did know fairly quickly. It was not a long wait to answer your
Okay.
question. He knew before I got to see him, or yeah, it was a pretty quick process.
Talk about
A two fifty
efficiency.
nine fifty nine though, and when your goal is 3 hours, and that is I mean, think about that, the fact that you were that close. You can't plan that kind of thing in a marathon. And I'm sure even if your watch says 2:59:59 and you started it right on the line, and you finished it right on the line, there's still that margin of error that's just gonna murder you. Just twist your mind into a pretzel, if you know that.
Yeah, you could, because you, I would personally, suppose he was a second or two later, I would just be thinking about my entire training. And sometimes you think about this, like the 20 miles I did
Yeah.
today, what is really, how, wouldn't it be cool to just see a clock and see it go up or down each day with
Yeah.
your workouts, just how impact each workout has. Because like, just think, maybe if he had just skipped one of those days where we're like, do we do it or do we not? Do we not go as far? Do we not go as fast, etc.? Had he just not done that, 1 second is nothing compared to the thousands that are compromised 3 hours. It's just insane how close that
Yeah,
was.
is that not the beauty of the marathon though, Charlie? Is just the inherent cruelty of the marathon. It is totally. I mean, it's the objectivity. It does not care who you are, how hard you train, anything other than, you've got to perform that day. All the training you do can go out the window, and on almost a random event, bad weather. It's just crazy to think the knife already, and then you run a 2:59:59 or whatever. I mean, if you come close to a goal and you make it or you don't make it, there's so many variables that are out of your control, whether or not you think you've controlled them or not.
I crunched some fast math. There is 10,800 seconds in 3 hours. 1 second represents 0.00926%. That's the difference. I mean, that is just razor thin
It
margins
is.
we're talking about. So, but he did it. He did not train too much, too little. He was Goldilocks, and he got his 2:59:59, and he's
He
abandoned us
had.
ever since for trains and double
But
cheeseburgers.
I mean, even think about, if you go long through a corner, if you miss just stuff like that,
Yeah.
or I mean, it could be.
I've had this happen at least once in a race, maybe twice, where I drop like my goos and And not so much the time, because it's maybe it is a second. It would have mattered for Allen to go back and get them, but just the
Yeah.
energy expanded to go back and pick something up and then run again. But I remember it was like mile nine. I was like, I'll be screwed without these.
Well,
So,
you dropped, and this happened to you. You dropped a goo, and you did not pick it up again. Yeah.
yeah, I dropped a goo. Maybe this would have been was a pacing thing and not racing. I don't know, but still. It's just the main point of a race is to get to the finish line as fast as possible. And even if it's only a step or two the other direction, it does not feel good. It's a big mental hit. And then just stooping down, picking something up, it's like doing a
Yeah.
little gut buster right in the middle of a marathon. Not
Yeah, I've
ideal.
thought to myself kind of the same thing, that you have this like theoretical time. You would be nice to know what effect anything has on your time. But the same as even during the race is, I mean, if you say you drop a goo and you don't go to pick it up, but now you're thinking, well, gosh, like that's fuel that I've missed out on, or now I have to try to find the race fuel. And like, how much of an effect is
Oh,
that going to
yeah.
have in and then 2 hours from now, you're out there for 3 hours. It's like, I mean, it's like the length of the movie Titanic, and I can't sit there that long to that movie. Now you think you're all this running you have to do over that same amount of time, and everything has to go right. If I watch, I'm using that just because it's a 3 hour or however long movie, but I have to stop and pause if I
Yeah.
ever watch that to, use the bathroom, or, I've got to get up and walk around. And I have that luxury of doing that during a stupid movie, but during a marathon, it's like there's this sword hanging over your head that everything has to go just right, or the consequences are immeasurable.
It is the least boring couple hours you could possibly have of, for those that don't listen to music and are just sort of focused, locked in on their pace. It's so weird. Like, that's this intense, fairly boring on paper task that I've never felt
Really? You
bored
haven't? You have not
during
felt
a
bored during a
race.
marathon?
No, I'm.
You haven't? I
No,
have.
have
I
you?
really have. Well, I mean, I think a better way to put it is the fact that I just, where I was telling a friend about this who hasn't yet done a marathon, and we're on 18 miles yesterday, and I was just thinking, you do those runs and you get to like 16 miles and you think, ah, I'm gonna have 10 miles to go. And at 10 miles, like say, like just theoretically, like 16 miles in, and you've got 10 miles to go. It's like, man, it's like another, I mean, that's like over, at least over, like well over another hour I have to go. It's like, man, this is just like.
Okay, are you confusing boredom with just like the fatigue or the threat of the pain that's ahead of you? Because I don't consider that boredom. I consider that
Well.
fear. I'm never like, oh God, this is such a
Well, I think,
drag. Oh, what
yeah.
am I doing later? Why are all these people here? That's what I think of as boredom, or like, no, I'm always like so focused on what my next split is going to be that
Well, I
I
mean, I
don't know,
think
I'm
you
like a
point out
little.
that's a good skill to have. I mean, that does keep you engaged. I just think there's the difficulty for me with the marathon is that mental engagement that comes from. Just like, you just get to a point. It's like, oh my gosh, I've been out here a long day. Like, or I've got just, it's like forever. Like, I've got stuff to do today. And it's like, it just really seems like it just goes on. And
That is
what's
so
that?
different for me. So different for me. That is so different for me because for me, like, as soon as I cross that start line, whether I'm
Yeah.
racing or pacing or whatever, it's like kind of the peace of, and that's PEACE, that peace of, I have one objective right now. Everything that's going on with work or at home or, God, even bigger, like what's going on in the news, etc. None of that. Everything just melts away. And I have this one gorilla sized endeavor in front of me, but that's all I have to worry about for the next few hours. And there is something almost calming about that. And in training, too, that's It's that's why part of the reason we do this, right, is to have some solace, to have something to keep us busy and engaged and
Well,
good for the whole
you
mental
have
health.
tapped
I've
in. I
never
really think
been
you've tapped
that way.
into a mental skill there that not everybody has. And I mean, I have felt that before on marathons where I
Interesting.
do stay focused, but there's just other marathons where it just seems like it really kind of becomes a little bit of a mental grind. Like the out of town ones are kind of nice because you're seeing new things. You can. You're clicking off the miles, but at the same time you have this sort of distraction while you're focused, but your mind is engaged on what's happening around you a little more. But yeah, it is interesting.
Very, very
I
interesting, different
remember
perspectives.
a friend running and ex telling a she was explaining a story where she's telling a non-runner about running a marathon, and the non-runner said, "Well, how far is that?" And she said, "It's 26 miles." And the person said, "Well, gosh, that's a long way." And then the runner said, "No, it's a long way." And then the non-runner says, "Yeah, I know, that's a long way." He's like, "No, you don't understand. It is a long way. Like 26 miles is just." It's almost unfathomable. You can't even like a non-runner just cannot relate to like it just goes forever. Like mentally, like, oh my gosh, I've got so long to go.
I do think in my head, though, especially towards the end, like when I've got, for some reason, 22 minutes, for whatever reason, always kind of sticks in my head. When I've got about 20 minutes, I was like, oh, geez, that's like an episode of
Yeah.
Full House without
Exactly.
commercials. This is easy. Or if I'll get to like 10 minutes, I don't know why I keep coming back to jam bands. I was like, that's a short jam band
Yeah.
song right
So it
there.
starts out
Yeah. Or that I'll think that a lot in tempo runs and
like so it
workouts as
starts out
well.
like I gotta watch Titanic the entire time after running a minute.
Yeah, exactly. It starts
Yeah,
literally
and
with
then I
Titanic.
finally
And then it comes down to like, okay, halfway, this is a crappy like
it's a
Adam Sandler
rom-com.
comedy, 90
Yeah,
minutes.
that might be a trick I can do.
I've even thought like if I'm like 3.5 minutes away, it's like that's the perfect length for a good
Yeah.
song. Like a good radio song should be right around 3.5 minutes. And I'll just think of a song and be like, yeah, that one's good. And the time that it takes to listen to that song, this is over.
I think one of the worst differences.
I've never seen the finish line and been like 10 seconds away. And it's like, I could hold my breath this long.
I do recall one time at it was Boston 2018, which was the year of the monsoon, and I just remember when I got to Cleveland, was it Cleveland Circle or Cleveland Square, whatever it is, 22 miles in, and there was 4 miles to go, and I remember like okay, and I remember I've got this file loop, I was just dead on 4 miles. And I was thinking, that's all I have to run. And I started like picturing where I would be on that 4 mile loop from my house. And I did that for like 5 minutes. And then I'm like, what in the hell am I doing? Why am I fantasizing? I'm back in my neighborhood when I'm in Boston for crying out loud.
Oh,
Yeah.
I've done the exact same thing. I have done the exact same thing. Like when I get 8 miles away, it's like I have an 8 mile route I do week in, week out. It's
Yeah.
like, oh, that's it. That's it, dude. That's great. That's funny. You get mad at yourself for mentally checking out of the city you paid thousands of dollars to be at, to race at, to go back
Yeah, the
to where you would be
fantasize
at
of like,
home
okay, look at
for the
that. I'm out on
fun.
Main Street, and same thing. Yeah, it's funny thing is I take from this, Charlie, is that you have a much better talent than I do at I tend to be mentally tortured where you kind of find calmness or solace or you're very very much more focused on positivity than I am.
It's like a caffeinated squirrel going on in my head, like obsessing with these splits, but yeah, that's all I'm focused on. That's it. We've got a couple listener mailbag type things
Oh,
here
dear.
I'd like to talk about. We've got a friend, a running buddy is on the Strava group, named Jason, and he lives in the Montreal area of Canada, and he's a listener. And I reached out to him on Strava. I saw one of his runs, and I just asked, what's the running scene like in Montreal? It just seems so far north
Yeah.
and cold and stuff. And he of course, he said it's a very robust running community. He's like, it is limited with our winters, but he said when you get those nice days in Montreal in spring and fall, just how awesome it is, like just how active everybody gets because it's just more limited. So as good as these spring days are starting to roll in and how great it feels to be done with winter and having these warmer ones, our friends in Canada just have that cranked up
Oh,
to
absolutely.
11,
I'm
I'm
sure
sure.
it is all relative, isn't it? Where you live, everybody. It's a great thing about runners that we can always make the best of what the hand we're dealt, and our whatever our particular climate happens to be, we just deal with it. And some of us, I say us, it's not as bad for me in Ohio or you in Utah, but there's some coming to God moments where you gotta just load up with the clothes at rough times of the year and just get out and do it. More power to you.
All right, we got to do. Do we take the running buds on the road? Do we do the Marathon Oasis Day Montreal in September? Annual marathon foot race held in Montreal, Quebec, Canada since 1979.
Yeah,
I bet
absolutely.
it's
I'm count me
gorgeous.
in. Count me in.
Let's get international. There's also a rock and roll one, but we don't want to do that. Oh, wait, it might be the same one. Did they buy it? They probably bought it. All right. We're not doing, if we're going to do an international marathon, it's not going to be a rock and roll sponsored
Yeah.
one. Oh, it looks
That'd
like a
be like
beautiful route though. Goes out on an island in the
traveling
river.
to Italy and then eating at Olive
Great
Garden.
city too. Yeah. One of our shared interests, aside from, I should say, running, Steve, is stand-up comedy, and that is Montreal's bread and butter too.
Oh, is it?
Montreal Comedy Fest, one of the biggest comedy fests in the world. Yeah. Yep. Okay, so we had that from Jason. It had me thinking. I don't know why I changed. I really want the cover photo of our Running Buds Facebook to be something that it doesn't even have to be us, but a runner took while on a run. And I made it a winter one, and then I had to change it. And I just went back to an old one we already had. If anybody has a nice welcome spring, it's one of the best times of the year to run. If you have a nice spring shot you've taken while on a run, please send it to us. We'd love to spruce up our cover
Well,
photo a bit.
it kind
I don't
of
know why
brings up
Jason
though,
made me think of
I
that.
just love to see the different areas and what you see when you run. I love around here this time of year. Everything's just changing, and I live, you've lived in Ohio, Charlie, and there's a lot of places in the country where you have four really distinct seasons, and every season is unique and in the environment that you get to run in. And that compounds, I'm sure, as you go around the country and the world. And so yeah, always send in pictures of what you see when you run.
As you've laughed at me before, every place is beautiful, but they really are. So send us some pictures. Yeah, I think a really nice spring run would be perfect. Spruce that up. Okay, we've got this message from Phil, who I understand you run with pretty regularly. He had a running friend, and Phil is a pretty accomplished runner. We were talking about this before the show. He's got some kind of high school records or championships. We don't know exactly what, maybe you can fill us in, Phil. But he runs with some pretty elite circles, and he had a friend who sounds like was just burnt out from running. He'd been running competitively a long time, I assume through college and stuff, and he just wanted to just crash and burn. He had never done 100 miles before, or maybe he had, but he wanted to just run 100 miles in 1 week, all barefoot, with the actual intention of causing enough harm to himself that he would have to stop running and then just sort of retire or pivot from there. The guy didn't end up actually doing it, thank God, because that's really messed up. But just, it's so funny that the runner mindset that we can't just slowly walk away. We have to do something dramatic. It has to be severe for us to actually pivot away from it. So thank you for that, Phil.
And Phil is
Mike.
what runners would refer to as a stud runner. Phil has a hell of a resume, but Phil also dabbled in dark arts of the ultra and was been dealing with shoes himself. But Phil's a great runner, great guy. Phil a couple years ago actually did the official Biggs Backyard race. Put on by Laszlo Lake. Yeah, he was admitted for
Really?
Phil can better fill us in on the story, but quickly Laz a few years ago, a couple years ago, did a walk across the entire United States, and as he Phil walked with him, part of the support crew, helping him out with lodging, places to stay, and that sort of thing. So from that contact, Phil was able to gain entry into Big's backyard, and
I think Phil had a
feeling this would happen, and probably Laz did it as well. But Phil a little bit crashed and burned, but still, I apologize if Phil is listening, that Phil ran a hell of a long way considering the training he did.
Between Phil and
No, I
Alan, we're not going to
know.
have any actual
We're going to have
friends
a
by the
show
end
of
of
just
this
corrections,
podcast.
and just Phil and Alan might be doing their own podcast in equal time to the Running Buds podcast of their own. But for sure, Phil is. I mean, I got to hand it to Phil. Phil is a stud runner, so that's. I'm going to start and finish with that point. That great guy and great runner with the dark side.
Beautiful. Michael reached out. We talked about baby strollers or running strollers,
We did.
excuse me, last episode. And he showed me this thing, and I've seen this before. He said he thought he saw it on Shark Tank, which is a show I do enjoy. But it's a baby trailer. So instead of pushing the stroller, your baby, like you got this harness around your waist. And your baby is just similar to, like, I think you see on bikes often, is just sort of pulled behind you. And I think the big thing they push on the benefit of this is it doesn't change your gait as much. You're able to swing your arms, which I complained to you, I can't do when pushing a stroller. However, the idea of just my baby getting hit in the face with sweat and running
Yeah,
farts
exactly. I had
the
the same
entire
thought.
time.
Or there's so
Pretty
much that can go
gross.
wrong when you spend that much time with your baby out of view that it's to me it's unworkable. I couldn't do it. I'd be constantly looking back and checking. And obviously
Or every time I felt like I had a little
he's
burst of
gone.
energy, I'd have to be like,
Yep,
"Oh
he's out.
crap, did I drop the baby?"
Whoa.
He's gone. He's gone. By the way, a little boy, he made it to 10 miles today. He did 10 of those 20 with us. And I think it was probably the best thing for him, Nicole,
Oh,
there
really?
with the croup. So I think last episode I said the new record
Whew.
was 8. We're up to 10
Man,
now.
that is a maybe you are cut out for ultras.
Okay.
You're pushing a stroller 10 miles now. You're really
Yeah.
veering into some strange waters.
Oh, I gotta say something else about last podcast. I was thinking, you know how we started off talking about running in the rain, and you were like, once you're wet, you don't get,
Yeah, I did.
who cares if you get more wet, right? And I was like, no, it gets cumulatively worse. I was thinking more about this, and I probably came off as a real wuss. And you
Yeah.
really set me up to sound like a wuss there, Steve. Because I've often said one of the things that makes runners actually look tough is how not that bad it is in the rain. I think the distinct thing, though, is the
Yeah.
temperature. It was like 40 degrees and raining is a huge difference between even
Yeah.
like 55,
That's true. No,
So
you're not a
I'm
wuss.
not a
And
wuss.
I brought this up earlier, but having run the worst Boston that I could possibly imagine. I'm sure there's been bad ones, but 2018 with the mid to high 30s and just a torrential rain. It was kind of, I felt like the scene in Jaws where Quint announces he'll never wear a life vest again once he spent so much time in the water being gnawed at by a shark. If he ever goes into the water again, he'd rather just die. And I kind of felt the same way. Like, you know what? If I have to go out into the rain again, I don't even care what happens to me. I'll do it. It's fine. But I.
Yeah, because you actually preferred that to
He, I did. That is true. I
the
mean,
heat,
it suited
like.
me differently. But I think even going back to what you said earlier that, the mental aspect that particular day, it was just getting it done, and I was very focused on the finish, the entire race. So mentally, that was actually a pretty good race for me because I was like, I just got to get this shit over with. This is awful, and I didn't think of it as an entire marathon. I couldn't, or I think I would have just folded. So it really got into just imagining my splits, how they're going to progress and mile by mile and what's coming up and around the corner. And so mentally, that actually was a pretty good run for me. And I haven't really captured it again in future marathons, but that was just a very unique rainy, cold day. So maybe the rainy cold is what I need.
All right, I did a little research on Montreal
While I was talking.
marathons, and
Okay, thanks.
yeah, yes, I don't know what just kidding. That Oasis Day One is in fact now the Rock and Roll Marathon that is in Montreal itself. 2,400 finishers, however, only 28 miles away is in Saint-Jérôme, Quebec, with almost 1,700 finishers, is good Lord. It's the letter P just by itself. And I kid you not, the word tit. So P tit train du Nord marathon. I'm much more interested in that one than the rock and roll for several reasons. So maybe we'll do that
I
one.
think
We'll think
for
about it. It's in
safety's sake, we
October.
should consult somebody who speaks French because I'm going to guess it's not petit. I think you butchered the French language,
That's
Charlie. Pete, did you say petit du
I
Nord?
am exclusively letting you.
Yeah.
Okay, it's the letter P, as in, potato by itself, space, TIT, space, the word train, as in, choo choo, and then
Do.
space DU.
Do.
That's got to be do. There's no. And then. And the D
Yeah.
in DU is lowercase. Interesting. So is the T in tit, both T's in tit, I guess. And then NORD, that's got a capital N, marathon. P tit train du Nord. I'm sure I'm mispronouncing it, but that is definitely the spelling.
We're so American.
Yeah. That's a great race. The tit race
Did
might be a bit
you
hilly,
set
but
this? This is all a big setup.
oh, it's downhill. Oh, it's mostly on trails. Okay, we're not doing that one. It's not even certified. Sorry, Montreal. Okay, last but not least, I have something. I've brought up this friend I feel like every episode. He's just an interesting guy, Melchor. And I bring him up because just like a week or two on Facebook was our 2 year friend anniversary, at least on Facebook. And I want to say we became Facebook friends soon after meeting, but still, I've known this guy no more than 2.5 years, and that's being generous. And I feel like I've known this guy 15 years. And in my mind, that seems about right. I think when you have a really good running bud that you run with a lot, there's about a 7.5 multiplier in place in terms of how long
Sure.
or how well you actually know that person.
Yeah.
Okay, well,
No, I'm
I
looking
thought
for something
we'd
different.
talk more about that, but yeah, isn't that the main reason, you know, there's a lot of reasons we do this, but it's just
Oh, with
incredible how great of
for
relationships you can
sure,
have
for sure.
real quick.
No, it's a touching.
Guess we've
Yeah,
had
you're making a touching
Brian
point,
Crotty
Joey.
and
I'm
Mike.
so I'm marinating in the happiness
Oh, you're about to cry
that
and you don't want to do so on the
you're spreading.
podcast. Got it. All right. I think we're about done with this one.
Oh
Do you
God,
have a song
Curly.
for
I mean, I
us?
have song. I'm
You are
good.
not
I'm glad.
prepared. Okay, I've got one. I thought about waiting until closer to a race for this one, but this one kind of jumped into my head as like the ultimate foot race song, and that is Tick Tick Tick
Okay.
Boom by The Hives. I don't have the lyrics in front of me, but it goes on like the chorus is like, is it too late? It's too soon, too late, too soon, or is it tick, 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 boom? And I just think that's beautiful for running a race, because especially we're talking about me, how I get so locked into the pace and what I'm supposed to do, and then no matter what your plan is, you always have this idea of, is it time to go for it? Is it too late? Is it too soon? Or is it time to drop the hammer? Is that what your tick, 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 boom is? Or is the tick, tick, tick,
Yeah.
boom of you just blowing up and hitting the wall and being that World War II jet or whatever you described Alan as crashing into the finish line? So we're going to end this one. I think they're Swedish with The Hives. Tick, 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 boom. All of our music is on the Spotify playlist. Just look for Running Buds episode music. You can get all of the songs we end the episode with there. We are the Running Buds.
Yeah.
Until next time, goodbye.
All right.
Running Buds.